as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. For children who are at school, I think you will be taught, pretty sure you'll be taught that all people are equal, aren't they? So we're not to treat people as though some are less important than others or more important. All people are equal. And I think the first slide helps us think about some of the ways we know as Christians that people are equal. They're the same. Here we go. All people are equal. These are things that are true for children and for teachers. Let's have a look. What's the first thing? We are made by God. Children are made by God, and teachers are made by God. Again, true for all people, children and teachers. And we can't make ourselves friends with God again. True if we're child, true if we're a teacher and adult. But King Jesus has made the way for us to be in God's family if we will trust him. He has made the way. So there we go. See, in all those ways, it's right to say that there is no difference. People are equal in all of those things. But in school, not everyone is the same. There is difference, isn't there? So here's some different people in school. They had teacher cooks at reception, maybe working at reception, and another pupil. Would you say to the head teacher, this line, let's go and play in the corner? No, you wouldn't. Would you say to the cook, can I have the register? Would you say to the receptionist, sir? Would you say to another pupil, I'd like salad, then? I've jumbled those up, haven't I? So, let's play in the corner. Who would you say that to? And you know the answer. Yeah? Who would you say that to? Another pupil. That should join up. Oh, no, I've got it wrong. It's head teacher. What would you say to the head teacher would be, sir? Okay, what would you say to the cook? I hope that's the next slide. Oh, yeah, you see, yeah, the cook, you'd say, I'd like the salad. I don't know who made these slides. It was me. I should know what's going on. So another pupil would say, let's go to the corner. What are the other two? Who would you, yeah, to the cook, you'd say, I'd like the salad. To the reception, you'd say, can I have the register? Okay, I jumped up. So you say different things to different people, don't you? People in the school, they're all equal. We're all made by God. We all sin against God. None of us can make friends with God, but God and Jesus, King Jesus, has made the way. All equal like that. But there's different ways that you speak to each other in school. And that's the same in church. That's what Timothy says about us in church. Look again at chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as fathers, and older women as fathers, and younger women as fathers. Doesn't say that, does it? It says speak to people and treat them differently. Men and women are different. We're not just humans. We're not even just Christians, but we're men, we're women, we're boys, we're girls. Who are the men? Put your hand up if you're a man here. Trick it, they all know. Hands down. Put your hand up if you're a woman. There we go, we've got men and women here. Put your hand up if you're a boy. Yeah, we've got some boys. Hands up, Michael, you are a boy. Yeah. Hands up if you're a girl. Yeah, we've got some boys. We've got men, women, boys, girls. God made us that way, and we must treat each other like it. We must speak like it to different kinds of people. Verse 1, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were father. Sometimes we need to tell people they've got something wrong. I know that in African cultures, so people from African countries, African backgrounds, you're aware of people who are older and will call them auntie or uncle. If you're in here, that's from my British. You must be careful that that doesn't mean we think you never correct an uncle. Very respectful. So we're all the same in the ways that we're made by God, and we've got things wrong in our sin against God, and Jesus is the gain those relationships with God, but their difficulty is to understand those and how they speak to each other. There's another thing about what those two verses tell us, that church, Dandenong Parish Church, is not just a business or an organisation or a club or a society. So I'm not to treat you like clients or customers. So I hope that it never happens when you come into church in the morning, we don't say, oh, you enjoy your service, like you're at a restaurant, and when you come out at the end, we don't say, how was your service today, sir? You know, was it suited to you? It's not a restaurant. It's not a business. We're to treat each other as relatives, as members of a family. One part of that is we keep in touch. When people go away, I've got a letter here that I'll get this week. I'm really sorry, didn't I? You won't see about that slide. Doesn't matter that I didn't try and do it. I could have tried to get a photo of Joe. Some of you remember Joe and Eileen. They're in their 90s. They used to come to the church. They live over in Brentwood. Dear Joel, first, thanks for keeping Eileen and I in the loop with your weekly emails. So they look at the emails that I sent. Terry, our son-in-law, has now found us a church on the outskirts of Brentwood. And we've been attending each Sunday morning. Like DVC, there's a lovely warm feeling when you walk in, like your Wednesday morning services, which you know Eileen and I really enjoy. Having been happily married for 65 years today and having 6 grandchildren, our 7th great grandchild due in November, we are truly blessed. In February this year, Eileen had to go into hospital for an operation. Her first time in hospital ever at 86. Petrified, and they wouldn't let Julie, our daughter, go in with her. So she had to go in with a nurse holding her hands. Having been left alone in the room to get ready for the operation, Eileen prayed to God and needed to help her. And the operation was complete. So thank God for being so blessed in all our lives. Eileen and I were baptized last Sunday morning. With most of our family came. What a wonderful evening. God bless you and all your family and all our friends at PPC. We love you. So that's friends of ours staying in touch. It's sort of family thing to do. We're meant to be family. Now, some people don't like the idea of church as a family because their family is horrid. They go, oh, I come to church to get away from family. Well, the church family is meant to be a good church family. Other people say, well, it's not a very good church family at church. It's disappointing. And we do get things wrong. But we are trying to learn from Jesus and be good church family. But if this is God's family here in Dagenham Parish Church, then if you come late and leave early, you rush off and don't talk to anyone, it's hard for us to get on as family. Now, some people have to go because of work shifts. If that's you, you want to try and make another time when you're going to be in touch with God's people. Church is family. It's not just coming to a religious ceremony. So we have drinks together in the minor hall. We're all together in the car park afterwards. We're having a bringer and picnic lunch today. Sorry for the late notice. Next Sunday, lunch, Bible study for the youth. Those of you who are in that group know about that. Please let me know about that. Wednesday night, a meal together before prayers. Next Saturday at Stubbers, day out. There's lots of chances for us to be a church family, spending time together. Trying to do it well. Have you got Stubbers yet? Good afternoon. Enjoy. Yeah, I can find it from Friday, but do book. We'd love you to come. If you want more information, do ask Karen at the back. Stand up, Karen. So ask Karen, who's brilliantly organising the day out. Well, thank you, Karen. If you need a lift, speak to Karen. We'll hopefully be able to organise this. Paul spent most of what we write in our verses this morning is about one group of people in the church family. So I'm going to read the next section and see if you can spot who these people are. Okay, so look out as I'm reading through the book. Bible, verses 3 to 16, which group is to report most of that? Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. This is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who doesn't provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, don't put them on such a list, but when their sensual desires overcome their dedication and desires, they want to marry, lest they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they don't want to. So, I counsel younger women to marry, younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity to garner. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who's a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows. Okay, which kind of person? The main topic here. Widows. Yeah, next slide shows, as you can see that, yeah, it's come up in red on the screen there. This is a great thing when you're reading the Bible to help you understand what a passage is about. See the word that comes up a lot. If there's a word that keeps getting repeated, that's a clue for you to think that's the focus here. That's what I'm being talking about. Not a sort of word like and, but a word like widow here. Thank you. What's a widow? A widow is a lady who was married and her husband's now dead. So she has no one to look after her. What's a widower? That's a man who was married and his wife is now dead. Now, Paul doesn't talk about widowers, just about widows. And that's because when this part of the Bible was written, a man was left on his own. He could carry on working and be okay. But if a woman was left on her own when her husband died, she was a widow, she wouldn't be okay. She'd be so much to look after her. Hands up for the widows in the church. Yes, sir. These are ladies, thank you. Children, these are ladies who were married and their husbands are on their own. Now, something else that's different then from now is that when Paul wrote then, there was no organisation like we had in London or in Dagenham to provide people with money to help when they were on their own. There's nothing like that. And so, in the church, those who were widows lived in the church. There's no money for food. And that's because in the Bible, God has a special care for people who were in difficulty. Orphans, that's children, people who died, widows, widows, husbands who died, and people who were refugees and aliens from another country. On their own in a new country. So the widows needed people to look after them. And this part is, which widows should the church look after? So look at verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Verse 9. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60. Verse 16 again. If any woman has a believer whose widow is in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. So we sometimes have lists in church, don't we? We have flip charts like this. There's one in the back with a list for people who want to become stubborn. We have lists for that sort of thing. They had a list. go on the list, who wouldn't go on the list. And that was what Paul was helping them to sort out. And the first thing, though, is who should look after a widow if she has need? What does Paul say? Who's the first person? Yeah, well, it's her family. So verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first look after their widow. So in fact, to give three reasons why they should do that. What are the reasons in verse 4? Why should family look after their widow? Brilliant, that's the third one. This is pleasing in God's sight. Two other reasons. Into practice. You say you're Christian? Becoming part of the church family doesn't mean we forget our biological family, the dad and mum who God gave us life. Brilliant. There's one more reason. So put your religion into practice. Thank you. Exactly. It's there in the Bible passage. Repay the parents who look after you. It's amazing, isn't it? My dad and mum changed my nappy. They did that. I need to love them back with other things now they are older. Also, verse 8 has got something there. Anyone who doesn't provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, leaving a home to get a job, to get married, or to go to another country doesn't mean you lose that family responsibility. How important would you say this is? If you get it wrong, it's like you've given up the faith. And Paul in this letter, in this book of the Bible, said there are false teachers who are pushing people to turn away from God. Now he's saying, if you're not looking after your family, this is bad. It's turning away from God. It's really bad. It's serious. So we all need to work out, so especially those people like me, people ready to have mums, who've got dads and mums still alive, how are we going to look after them? And that's a difficult thing to work out if your mum and dad didn't walk. You need to think about it. Just a little bit more doesn't mean that So which of the widows should not be on the list? Which should not be on the list? And we've got a slide for that here. And there are three things about that. If they've got a family to care for them. So this is a list of the people that the whole church should be looking after. Now the whole church doesn't need to look after them because they've got family to do it. But they should be on the list. If they're young, so verse 11 it says, as for younger widows, don't put them on such a list. Young ones should be on the list. And if they're living for themselves, verse 11, as for younger widows, don't put them on such a list. But when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry, thus they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first match. So they're Christians. People are just living for themselves in favor. What about people who should be on the list? So not on the list, there. You've got half family, if you're young, you're living for yourself. Who is on the list? Well, if you haven't got family, verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone, which I hope you've got, in the Jesus night of day to pray and ask God to help you, we should be the answer to her prayer. So if you haven't got family, if they're old, verse 9, no widow may be on the list unless she's over 60. If she's over 60, she can. But then more than that, she needs to be someone known for loving others. Verse 10, and is well known for her good deeds. And all of these good deeds are to do with other people. It's not that she's well known for going to church or not. It's not that she's well known for knowing all the answers of the Bible. She's well known for she cares. Now that's a challenge, isn't it, for all of us Christians. When we get to be 60 or 70 or 80, we'll be just, come on, know you. We know that you're someone who good deeds so that God will save us, but we are saved by God in order to do good deeds. We don't do good works so that others will see us doing them. But if our life is full of good works, people will see them. The church is a family, and the church family must care for those who have need for care. Those who are our Bible have care. We can't care for all of the needy people in Dagenham. We can't do that. But the Bible says we should, as a church, we should try to do the care for all the people in our church, even. In the church where I was before, Nick, went after these for that church in Lake Quantum. We upset a family because we went and organised some care for an old man who was sick and needed help. And his family came along and said, "Oh, that's our uncle. What are you doing?" And we thought, we should have said to the family first. Some people have their own family. Some people are young enough or able enough to sort things out themselves. Help on those that might be able to do it already. Some people might not be Christians. They don't see any signs in their life. They're not like this. But how do we do it? In our house, Aaron said a while ago, let's have Wendy, who lives next door to us, around for a meal every week. Now, Wendy doesn't need help with this. Wendy comes around for a meal with us, and we see her at other times. Karen's taken Wendy to hospital when she was ill. But this week, when Karen has been ill, it was Wendy's turn. She made the dinner. So that's how we work as a family. We wear those different kinds of people. Don't treat everyone the same. Can't care for everyone.